Thank you and good morning. And to the rest of you, good morning. I'm glad you're here this morning, whether you're glad to be here or not. I am so thankful for the words of that song. I'm glad for a Heavenly Father that cares about me, even in the smallest detail. It's been mentioned already, I believe, at least in context of fact that he loved us enough that he saved us, but that wasn't the end of the story. Thank God he still loves us enough that he keeps coming to us again and again and caring for us again and again. And his mercy is bestowed again and again. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Thank God for his mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you for being in service this morning. We appreciate your attendance. 1 Kings chapter 20 is where I would invite you to turn, please. Unless you are unable because of physical care of the children, I'll ask you to stand. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse number 1. Then Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all its host together. There were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. He went up, besieged Samaria, and warred against it. He sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, to the city, and said unto him, Thus saith Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. The king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Messengers came again and said, Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet will I send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time. They shall search thine house, the houses of thy servants, and it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes they shall put in their hand and take it away. The king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, Mark, I pray you, see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and for my children, for my silver and for my gold, and I denied him not. All the elders and all the people said unto him, Hearken not unto him, nor consent. Wherefore, he said unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, Tell my lord the king, All that thou didst send for to thy servant at first I will do, but this thing I may not do. The messengers departed and brought him word again. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We thank you, Lord, for instructions that would guide our steps. We need a touch from heaven this morning. I pray that you would quicken our mind. May we speak forth thy word, that is understandable and applicable to our lives. Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, do his office work this morning, as we cannot, we do not know how. We must have you. Please be honored today with the decisions that we would make. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I would like to talk to you this morning, and as the Lord wills, continue this evening, concerning the line in the spiritual sand. Drawing a line in the spiritual sand. We're all familiar with the concept of declaring the line, or drawing the line. The idea, this is as far as I'm going to go, the point of acceptable actions or living. If you please, if it's somebody that is dealing with us, maybe wanting to do harm, we do not want to reciprocate their actions, but we can draw a figurative line. They are allowed to do so much, but when they cross that line, that's the end of it. We're not going to allow them to do anymore. In the spiritual sense, there is also the same warfare that is going on. It's a line that every single one of us is going to draw in the spiritual sand. It's what you allow in your life, to the point of perhaps going so far without violating your conscience. I'm willing to do this, but go no further. I'm willing to be this, but I don't want to take any other steps. It's the spiritual line that we draw in the sand. What you limit yourself to, what you allow in your life. Very literally, we can talk about the philosophy of our life. A lot of things can come into our life which we will allow, but there is that breaking point, that spiritual line that we're going to draw in the sand. I would like to deal with this from two different settings, this morning and then, as the Lord wills, again tonight. But this morning, I would like to deal with this from this question. What are you willing to be let taken from your life? And then, as the Lord wills, what are you willing or what are you not willing to let go of? It's the story of Ahab. Of course, we know Ahab is not the picture of a saint. Far from it. Ahab is in a pretty desperate strait this morning at our time of our reading. We're finding that the king of Syria and other kings, 32 others, have joined him and set themselves in array against Samaria. And Ahab and all of the inhabitants are in trouble. I find it interesting what happens here. Ben-Hadad is sending messengers to the king of Israel and declaring that this is what he is wanting. This is what he requires. We find Ahab, as is through his own testimony, does not withhold anything from the king Ben-Hadad, and we'll talk about that momentarily. He's been challenged in who and what he is, but apparently what was required, and the list is there, we're going to touch on it momentarily, concerning the silver and the gold and wives and children. It's there. Those things did not seem to be of great importance to him. And many times you and I, now dealing specifically in the area of spiritual things, obviously that's going to trip over into our physical lives as well. But when we are challenged, many times it's easier to move the line. This is where I'm going to stand. But somebody challenges us in who and what we are. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to move the line and allow those things to be taken than it is to just take a stand for what we consider to be right or wrong. So I'd ask you a question this morning. What are you willing to allow to be taken in your life? Something we need to think about today. What are we comfortable in excusing in our own lives? What are we going to allow to slip away? And there's a myriad of examples that we can deal with from an external or secular source. News articles that are happening, headlines that are going on right this very week, and you're familiar with those. And we would have every right to talk about that this morning, but I'd like to concentrate our attention right on our own personal lives, our surrounding community, if you please. What are we willing to let go of? Ben-Hadad spiritually makes his way into our life, and he demands this of us and another thing of us and that other that at one time we would have never considered letting go of, but this morning we'll say, you can have it. As I already stated, Ahab was not the poster child for a spiritual role model. He's a very wicked man. In fact, if you go to 1 Kings in 16, it tells us that he did more wickedly than any of the kings previous to him. You go on into the next chapter, we're in chapter 20, chapter 21, it tells us that Ahab was one that sold himself to evil. And there's a lot that we could talk about and what he sold himself to do. So we're not talking about a man who's trying to find the favor of God. He's a man that very much, he's a wicked individual. And yet with this wickedness that's a part of his life, Not a very good reputation at all. There's a line in the sand that he was drawing. He said, I can go this far and I'm not going to go any further. Even in his wicked state, there was some, if you want to call that, principles about him that he was not willing to violate. My question again to you, is there a line that you're able to draw in the sand, spiritually speaking? For you and for those that are around you. Is there a philosophy of life? And you understand the whole idea of philosophy is the values that I live by. Those things change over time. I realize as we grow and we get more information, hopefully we get into the Word of God and we understand a little. Some of the philosophies of life will change. I realize that. But it is a core set of standards. And I'm not just talking about what you wear or don't wear, what you do or don't do. The principles of your life, it is the line that we're drawing in the sand. This is what I'm going to live by and I'm not moving from it. The question is this, what will you allow to be taken away? How far will you allow that line to be moved? Ahab had to come to grips with that. It's interesting to me this morning what he is allowing to be moved. How far he was willing to go, what he was allowing to be taken out of his household. Look at the things that were mentioned this morning. Verses 2 through 4 gives us the scenario. Those things that were acceptable, it seems really unfeasible to me that he would even consider this, but it tells us that Ben-Hadad required all of your silver, that's what he said, and your gold, and then he steps into something that's a little, I would consider a little bit more personal. He said, I require your wives and I require your children, not just your wicked stepchild that you don't care about, but he said, I want the best child you have. I want all of it. What disturbs me about this whole picture, it shouldn't surprise me, but it disturbs me greatly that Ahab sends a messenger back and says, you can have them. Take them all. Now, I don't know if he is reacting because of the extreme challenges in front of him. He's got an army that's besieged the city. The people, they're hungry or they're going to be hungry. There's a lot that's... He's scared to death. He's afraid they're going to be overrun. His life's going to be taken. I don't know all of the reasons why Ahab answered or responded the way he did. But the fact that he was willing, okay, you can get rid of silver and gold. Perhaps if you work hard enough, you can find that again. But what about those relationships that are dear to your heart? Now, obviously, we're not going to say wives or husbands in this setting because we understand that is not permissible according to Scripture. He had wives, okay? You have one relation, or perhaps you have the dream of a relationship. You have a dream of a family someday. Maybe if you're not even partaking in that, you have that little list that you want, that companionship. Relationships in general, if you please. Those things that are not tangible. Those things that go further than just what I can buy off of a shelf. It does not even, it's not comprehensible to me in the very least that his own flesh and blood, and maybe he has the idea, okay, I have multiple wives. If I need another wife, I'll just go get another wife. And as the king, he could do those things, how he could interact with other people. He were required. And so maybe he thinks that he could just obtain another wife just because of his position, and probably could have. But to take his very flesh and blood, his own children, and say, you know what? You are no longer of value. I already mentioned it's not just the one that's ugly or the one that can't act right or the one that doesn't sing a pretty tune or the one that doesn't know how to work. No, we're talking the best children that Ahab has, from the very smallest to the greatest. King Ben-Hadad said, I want them all. And Ahab says, you can take them. Now, before we go too far and being harsh on Ben-Hadad, I would like for you to consider a few things. It won't take very long for you to figure out where it's going. What exactly When faced with the challenges of your life, and every single one of us are going to be faced with challenges. Some of you are facing them this morning. When the pressure is great, when the figurative Ben-Hadad has besieged our little city, pressing in upon us, and he's got other companions that's joined him. The pressure is great. What lines are you willing to move so that you might appease Ben-Hadad? I'm not going to get a great detail concerning the financial state of who and what you are. But I'm greatly concerned today that there's people all over the place that are selling their soul for the extra buck. I'm not talking about having to make ends meet. I know when you have to make ends meet. I understand that. Perhaps work the extra hours to get the thing taken care of. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the situation where you're willing to move the line, if only just a little bit, so that you can obtain more, or you can be something else, or you can keep up with somebody else. I already said we're not going to talk about multiple wives or husbands. I wouldn't allow that this morning. But what about your relationship to that companion you have or the companion you wish to have? Or let's just deal with very, very close relationships in general. We'll get to children in just a moment. But I'm talking about the friendships that you consider the greatest in your life. Those people that you're comfortable hanging around. Those people that you find interesting enough that you're willing to hang out with them. Not that you can't have friends all over the place, but you're willing to allow them to influence you. What lines are you willing to move? Then I would plead for you to consider, it is unusual to step into a church and to have this many children present. Probably 70, 75, maybe 80% of the churches that we go to, most of them are gray-headed. Thank God for our sainted gray-headed people. I'm not throwing stones at that at all. But very few have a group of young people, especially one of this size. I thank God that your church does. It means there may be a future for you if you keep your hand in Jesus' hand. Your children that you have now are the most precious. I'm going to use the word commodity. They are not just a commodity. They are the most precious thing that you have. But I wonder how many of you are willing to move the line and give up your children for the sake of who you've become or what you allow. The convenience that's yours. You say, Brother Cassidy, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't understand what's expected of me. You don't understand the pressures, and I would have to agree with every single one of those. But everybody has pressure, do they not? Everybody experiences times when their world goes upside down, do they not? Your pressure is different than my pressure, and I may not understand your situation. You won't understand mine, at least not to the fullest extent. What I'm asking you to consider is what line to you is permissible to move. What are you willing to let go of? It's no big secret that Satan wants as much as you as he possibly can get. He's going to put things in your life, place roadblocks in your life, so that he may have your soul, the soul of those involved in your family, ultimately your children and your grandchildren. I cannot generate a list this morning. Obviously, I took advantage of a few easy points that were given in our scripture lesson this morning, but I cannot generate a list that would include your movement what I mean by that is the line that you have moved. You see, I'm convinced today, part of the reason why I felt this strongly on my heart, before I walked out of the house this morning, I thought, Lord, I need to preach something else. This isn't going to work. But strongly I felt God had me go down this road. And the only reason why, and this isn't something that I'm talking about just right here at Wise Ball. You can go to Shoals, and you can go to Washington, and you can go to Ohio, and you can go to Pennsylvania and Alabama. You can go anywhere in our holiness movement, and we find that people are willing, under the guise of just fitting in, to move whatever lines are necessary for the convenience of their own life. I cannot generate the list that would include your movement. But I can ask you, I could plead with you this morning, please consider who you are. Reflect on your life, what you're allowing in your life. What have you been willing to move? What have you been willing to get rid of for the sake of your own convenience? Jesus asks the question in a little bit different way. Of course, monetarily, this has been considered from all kinds of different angles. He talked about wealth and gaining the whole world. But I would like to ask specifically concerning any issue that you're thinking about in your life right now. What will you give in exchange for your soul? What line are you willing to move? We're stepping deeper into this deeper than more than just a convenience question. We're not talking about the lines of, well, it's been a standard. Every time I go to McDonald's, I always get a Big Mac. I'm going to stretch myself and I'm going to get a quarter pounder this time. That's not, okay? We're talking about principles that you've allowed to slip away because of the company you keep. We're talking about even scripture verses that you've chosen to ignore just because of the convenience of your position. What you've allowed in your life because you don't see it the way they see it. You see it a little bit differently. I carefully would approach this subject. And in fact, I'm not even going to tell you what the issue itself is, but an individual that I know, and some of you actually would know them as well, concerning some of the issues in their life that have been for a long time stalwart issues in the holiness movement as far as what we do and what we don't do. And the individual has moved the line just simply saying, well, nobody ever really explained it to me, and so I'm not really interested in going. We've got a lot of people, even in our holiness movement today, that they just don't see it that way. Preacher can get up, and I'm not talking about this preacher, your very own pastor can get up and week after week after week hound on issue after issue after issue, all within biblical context, and some of you walk out of the church every single Sunday saying, I don't agree with that, and therefore I'm not going to live that. Now, if we were talking about stump speeches on certain issues that really are pretty vague when it comes to scripture verses, that's one thing. But when we're establishing something on the Word of God, my friend, who are you and I to come along and move the line? I'm not talking about just preferences or conveniences. We're talking about eternity. And Jesus makes this very clear when He's saying, what are you willing to sell your soul for? How far are you willing to go? Classic examples given, some of you have seen. Years gone by when Brother Albert Barr gave his illustration. I'd like to close with it this morning. There are some things in life that we know. Maybe because we've been raised or in a church or in a Christian home or we've been influenced by people. There's some things we know that are absolutely right. There's no question mark whatsoever, they're right. There's some things that we also know that absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, are totally wrong. We know that. We don't want to be wrong. We also know that there's some people who've taken advantage of the right and they've gone a little bit further. Over the top. Not really scripturally founded at all, but it's kind of their own little twist on things, and this is what they require. And we don't want to be wrong. We're not going that way. And I don't want to go beyond what Scripture says, that I'm not looking for the least I can do. I want to be right in Scripture. I'm not interested in going twisting and contorting to get my own little way of life. I don't want to go that. Somewhere along the way, there is a position, a biblical position, that I can take saying, this is right and I am comfortable living. I'm not going to be wrong. I'm not going to go over the top radical, if you want to use the term radical. I'm going to live according to what I believe God's Word says. As soon as you establish that position, the devil's going to come along and jump on your shoulder. And he's going to say, you know what? You're right about that. You don't want to. That's wrong. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. But we don't want to be over the top either. Too far. And if you're really honest this morning, and we're all about being honest, right? If you're really honest this morning, there's not a whole lot of difference in the position that I'm standing right now and this one, is there? As a matter of fact, some of you who weren't looking up here when I moved don't even know that I moved. Huh? Oh, it doesn't matter why you weren't looking. You were distracted for some reason. But you didn't realize there's not a whole lot of difference in right here and right here. And we're good, common thinking people. We're not out of the box type of woo. We don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be too right. Is that possible? Huh? So yeah, you're right. There's not really a whole lot of difference between right here and right here. And so does it really hurt to move that much? Well, if you're an honest thinking individual, you would have to say there's not really that much difference, and so surely it doesn't hurt. And so I can find myself comfortable right here. But as soon as I establish myself in that position, here comes the devil again. We know that's wrong. Those people have taken it too far. That's over the top. That's not right. This is a good place where you're standing. But really, if you consider everything, where you're standing right here and right here, there's not a big... It doesn't hurt anything whatsoever. We're honest thinking people and we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be over the top either. And so we have to agree that there's not a whole lot of difference between right where I'm standing and right here. And so we come to the conclusion that it's okay to move here. And as soon as we establish that this is where I'm going to stand, guess who comes along? You've got it figured out, don't you? And he said, we're honest thinking people and being thinking people. We don't want to be over the top. But there's not a whole lot of difference between where I'm standing here and where I was standing here. And really, we are honest thinking people and we don't want to be over the top radical. There's not a whole lot of difference in where we're standing right there versus where we're standing right now, right? And before we know it, he's talked us into a place that one time we would never, ever go. But he's come in and helped us to move the line. Just a little bit. This morning, some of you and everything that you are in front of everybody else, you look exactly the same as you've looked for the last 20 years. And as far as what you get involved in, some of you have been doing the same thing for the last 120 years. Give or take a few. But there's a few of you that if you were to be honest this morning, while you look the part and you act the part, somewhere along the way, Ben-Hadad's messengers have slipped into your house. Said, I want this. And you say, okay, it's not that bad. I'm asking you this morning, what are you willing to let go of? What line are you willing to move? Brother Cassidy, some things are unacceptable. Yeah. But how many of you used to say that this was unacceptable? But you're no longer here. Somewhere along the way, you've been convinced otherwise. And now what was unacceptable has become acceptable, and you've stepped into a realm that you never would have gone just a few years ago. Forgive me for taking advantage of the moment. Most of you are aware, not a doomsdayer, but our country's in trouble. And there's things happening in the state of Indiana right now that causes us to be in trouble. I'm not going to get into the politics of all the right and wrong of all that. I obviously believe, but I believe concerning it. By the way, according to Scripture. But my question, my pleading with you this morning, begging you consider, there are some lines that you and I can stand up and say, you know what? The way the court system is taking us is the wrong direction. Of the things that our states allow, it's the wrong direction. They've been headed that way for a long time. But when it starts encroaching on our little world, either for the sake of convenience, for the sake of not being wanting to be overrun, out of touch, fitting in, we'll move the line a little. Brother Cassidy, I would never do that. This is, but some of you already have. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to move that line? Their heads bowed. Our time's gone this morning, and some of you are ready to run, but if you give me just a moment, please. It's not my business. It's not my place to require an account of you in your life. But it is my requirement to be faithful to you. And this morning, I wonder if you would look at your life, and if you'd be honest long enough, if some of you wouldn't say, Brother Cassidy, you're right. There are some things that not very long ago I stood for or I stood against. Not because everybody else was doing it, but because it was biblically founded, but I'd have to be honest to say that I've let some of those things slip this morning. I've moved the line. Friend, we can't afford to move it. And if you have, then maybe it's time to put that line back. So I would appeal to you today, this Sunday morning, perhaps it is that somebody here would say, Brother Cassidy, I need to put some lines back. I've moved them. I need to pray. I would encourage you to slip out of your seat today. Seek the face of God. God has talked to your heart. He's dealt with issues related to your lifestyle, your activity, your interaction with other people, your very own family. He's talked to you this morning. Do you need to come and talk to Him? Jesus, you know our hearts. You know the issues that surround our life. And you already know where some of us are this morning, whether we've been willing to admit it or not. We only plead for the faithfulness and the mercy of the Holy Spirit, that you would continue to talk to us, and maybe there's some things that need to be dealt with even yet this afternoon. We'll go ahead and get back home and take care of those. Lord, I pray that you would cool the defensiveness of some. Help them just to think through some things. Not because we said it, or because eternity's at stake. We need to know your will. We need to live the life you want us to live. Help us to be honest in doing so. Please give protection today and help us, Lord, to act in a way that would please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. You are dismissed.